Welcome to FSE University Lesson 192, as we're going to drill in deeper, looking at what we mean by God being merciful by defining this word, propitiation. You see it in the New Testament. What does it mean? You know, it's confusing, but it has such a deep, rich meaning that when you understand it, you fall in love even more with Jesus Christ. Let's start out by clicking on the screen and look at it, this idea in the New Testament, hilaskomai, to satisfy God's holiness, that his wrath is removed and mercy and kindness ensues. Now, before we get to Romans 3, let's take a look at the difference in that culture at that time between how the Greeks viewed mercy and how the Bible defines it. In Greek culture, mercy meant to appease their gods by earning their favor through good works. This is how you would satisfy this idea of a Greek god being merciful towards you. You would have to earn their favor. But the Bible never used mercy for any action by a man to try to earn God's favor. Instead, this is what it literally means. God himself has so dealt with sin that he can now show mercy to the unbelieving sinner by removing their guilt and dismissing their sin. So let's take a look at Romans 3, verses 23 to 26. You get a really good picture here of how Paul is explaining it to a church, a Christian church that's starting out in the city of Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire. Here we go. Verse 23. Everybody knows this one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That literally means in the Greek, for all have sinned and shortchanged God of the glory he would have shown through them. Just wrap your head around that. Verse 24, being justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So even though everyone sinned and shortchanged God of the glory he wanted to have through you, remember our initial lessons on what glory means. Here it's saying God justifies people freely by his grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus. Now, here we go. Verse 25. Who is this Christ Jesus? He's the one God set forth to be a propitiation, which means mercy seat, by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. There's a lot going on in that little phrase. God the Father sets forth his Son to be the mercy offering to you by the shedding of his blood. If by putting your faith in him, you can now have the mercy of God, he can show it to you because you've trusted in what Jesus Christ has done, whom God has put forth for you. And then it says to demonstrate his righteousness. How do you demonstrate something? Think about that. If I wanted to demonstrate to my son how to hit a baseball, I wouldn't get a book out and read about it. I'd get a bat, I'd get a ball. I'd say, watch this, son. And I'd let him watch and see. This is exactly what he means here, to demonstrate his righteousness. Literally, Jesus Christ going to the cross demonstrates God's right, because by shedding his blood as that propitiation, that mercy seat, the offering God gives so that his mercy can ensue, when you trust him now, it's the blood of Christ that allows God to have mercy on you. And then it says, after to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, remember God suffers long, God has passed over the sins previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness. In other words, that he's right, that he, not you, might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. By God taking action, remember the definition of agape love. It's action and a choice of the will. It's not reacting to what other people do. God takes action. And he, by demonstrating his righteousness, has his son willingly die on the cross and shed his blood for you, so that now God has an acceptable sacrifice. This is exactly what This idea of a mercy seat is in the New Testament. But it gets much better when we go back and see the context in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 25, God has given us a picture here of this whole idea of the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies in the mercy seat. So let's read it first. Let's read Exodus 25, 17 to 22. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. You shall make 2 cherubim of gold, of hammered work. You shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. So you have a covering that's the lid of the ark. And on each end of that covering, that lid, you have cherubim. Make 1 cherubim at one end, make another cherubim at the other end. Make them at the 2 ends of the one piece of the mercy seat. So they're all integrated together, the lid and the 2 cherubim. Verse 20. The cherubim shall stretch out their wings above the covering of the mercy seat with their wings. They shall face one another, and the faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. We're going to come back to that in a second. It's very, very symbolic. Verse 21, you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you, the Ten Commandments. That's what that means. And listen to this. And there I will meet with you. I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, of all the things that I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. So notice, where does God meet with man? He meets with man at the mercy seat. Romans chapter 3, God says that mercy seat is Jesus Christ. How does this all work? Well, look at the blue takeaway on this slide. It says, in the tabernacle of meeting, the Holy of Holies, you have the ark. And between God's holiness, where he's above the mercy seat, Shekinah glory, and his broken law, that's the testimony inside the ark. We've all broken the Ten Commandments, is the mercy seat. And notice what the cherubim are doing. Their wings are outstretched and they're bowing down. Let's walk through this. This Old Testament word is kepareth. It's the covering of the ark in the Holy of Holies. All right, that's the same covering Jesus Christ in Romans chapter 3. Shekinah glory, verse 22. God is above the mercy seat between the cherubim. Testimony law, verse 21. That's the Ten Commandments inside the ark. Cherubim. These are creatures who guard God's holiness. If you remember back in Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned and they're kicked out of the garden. If you look at verse 24, it says, he drove out the man and he placed cherubim at the east end of the garden and a flaming sword, which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Cherubim have one function. They're created by God to defend his holiness. That's why they're put at the gate of the Garden of Eden. You can't get back in now because you've sinned. And the Garden of Eden, symbolic of heaven, is a place of perfection. There is no sin. Cherubim guard his holiness. It's the same thing in Isaiah 6. When you see the cherubim and seraphim saying, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, and Isaiah basically is going to drop dead because he's in the presence of perfection. That's what cherubim do. But here on the mercy seat, they're doing something different. They're not defending his holiness. They're bowed down with their heads down and their wings outspread. You know what they're saying? They're saying the same thing Jesus said on the cross when he died. It is finished. And then an earthquake came and the veil tore in two. The veil is what separates man from the Holy of Holies, the ark's inside. The veil tears in two because now God is saying you have access. You have access because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the mercy seat. And the cherubim are no longer keeping you out, defending his holiness. They're bowed down in submission to what the mercy seat has accomplished, what Jesus has accomplished. This is a perfect picture of what we have in Christ. Although we've broken the law, the Ten Commandments, because of the sacrifice voluntarily in the shedding of his blood, now God can meet with you, quote unquote. The veil's torn in two, and the cherubim no longer keep you out. They don't defend it. They let you in. They bow down because of what Jesus has done. This is beautiful. It's an Old Testament picture of Romans 3, 23 through 26 on this idea of propitiation. This is lesson 192.